volunteers?
I'll say the prayer, Judge.
All right. Commissioner?
Dear Lord, we thank you for many blessings that you have bestowed on us, the blessings that we have to live in this country, in this state, in this county. We ask that you would watch over this court today and make sure that the things we do are pleasing to you. I ask that you would be with our first responders, our military. If it be your will, bring them home safely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present, with the exception of Commissioner Clark, who I think is going to be just a few minutes late. Commissioners, I need a motion to approve our Commissioner's Court agenda with one addendum that's added to it under consent. And that is for the auditor's office, and that's, I believe, payment of accounts.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And proclamations and resolutions, National Friends of the Libraries Week. Ms. Weems.
Good morning.
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 This is the annual celebration of our support network of friends, members who participate in the organizations. There are six of them for the seven locations of the library. And I'd read the proclamation if you wish. Whereas Friends of the Library groups through Montgomery County raise funds which enable our libraries to move from good to great, supplementing the resources for materials and providing educational programming, much needed equipment, support for children's summer reading, and special events throughout the year. And whereas the work of the Friends highlight our library system as an essential element in the quality of life of county residents, providing opportunities for all to engage in the joy of lifelong learning and connect with the thoughts and ideas of others from ages past to the present. And whereas the Friends understand the critical importance of well-funded libraries and advocate to ensure that our library system has appropriate resources to provide a wide variety of services to all ages, including access to print and electronic materials, as well as expert assistance in research, reader's advisory, and children's services. And whereas the Friends' gift of their time and commitment to the library system sets an example for all in how volunteerism leads to positive civic engagement and the betterment of our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, proclaims October 21 to 28, 2018, as National Friends of Libraries Week in Montgomery County, and urges everyone to join the Friends of the Library group supporting their local library branch, and to thank them for all they do to make our library and community so much better.
I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank
Motion
you very
carries.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, commissioners, under County Clerk, we need to approve our minutes from our regular session dated October 9th,
Move.
2018.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, under the consent agenda, I have two items to be deferred. Judge, one of them is yours, unless you would like to address it at all. Okay. Item 9Q1 on page 9 and item 9S1 on page 9. Other than that, if there's no other changes, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Move with those changes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. to item number 11, budget.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning,
Judge. All right, I'm here this morning to discuss our FY18-19 carryovers for some operational items. Just to kind of give an idea of where, since we're working with the auditor's office on the on these carryovers, kind of the different carryovers that do exist regarding the budget. And what the roles are for each office. We do carryovers for encumbrances. Those are carryovers that are attached to purchase orders or requisitions. They're compiled by the county auditor's office, and normally those are normally sent in for commissioner's court approval in December. Another carryover we have are earmarked budgets. Those are unspent balances in either the capital fund or special revenue funds that will be used for the same projects normally next year. Again, these are compiled by the auditor's office, and they're sent for commissioner's approval normally in December.
Ms. Carter, isn't some of that carryover the where commissioners have attached bonds from developers that stays with those particular projects as
yes,
well?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. The next carryover is the department requested. These are carryovers that are not attached to a purchase order. They're normally used to fund one-time projects or programs. Normally, these will still need to go through the budgeting, purchasing process. So if they're still over the purchasing threshold, they'll still have to go through the purchasing process. These are actually compiled by the budget office, sent from the different departments. We compile a list, we review the list, and then bring the recommendations to you guys. For road and bridge, those are unspent balances in the road and bridge fund. Those are used for various projects in the next year. Those are normally compiled by the auditor's office and sent for commissioner's approval normally in April. So we do, I know it's small, but I did attach it in the backup. We do have some carryovers from the departments, and I'm just going to go over those really quick. We had two carry...
Is that any littler?
I know.
I don't think so.
Nope. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you did. You got it littler.
Don't ask again.
Never mind.
You can move it a little bit on the screen.
The first two are with the county clerk's office. Though they are two carryover requests that they're going to use for the purchase of security cameras. The process was we requested that all the departments, whenever they're sending us the carryover request, that they explain as to why they couldn't spend the funds in that specific year or how they couldn't issue a purchase order or whatever. The county clerk's office, they had a little bit of a communication issue between the vendor and themselves, but emergency management, so they are working those. So we're going to, the budget office does recommend that we go ahead and carry each of those over.
So all those cameras are being coordinated through emergency management so that we can, okay.
Yes. Okay. The next request came from the animal shelter. They requested that any unspent salary funds and operational items be used for some overtime, and what I basically did is we reviewed them, and I am asking the court to only recommend at this moment $107,762.68. I'm taking out the requested that they gave for medical insurance. They wanted to carry that over to be spent for overtime. I'm actually going to bring you guys a carryover request next time for actually moving all of the insurance money to over to fund balance in the self-insurance fund. So I'm asking that the court doesn't take that one into the full request.
Well, I saw that there was a request to do some cost of living raises. Is that what you cut out of there?
So basically, right now, their overtime, the animal shelter doesn't have an overtime budget. And I think that that's definitely an issue, especially with, you know, the work that I've talked to the commissioner's office and that I know the work that needs to be done. So we anticipate that there will be some overtime in that. And the overtime needs to be increased, especially because if you're working overtime now in the COLA, you only need a little bit more overtime. The next one came from the DA's office. And they had, again, wanted to spend their unused salary funds and unused operational funds to fund some ICAC supplies, and they actually went over their operations. They expect to go over their operations a little bit in 19 already, just due to some of the costs that they know have increased. So they asked for $65,000, again, because of the medical insurance. The budget office is only recommending $11,871. Again, taking the medical insurance out of the request, because I don't think I think the self-insurance fund needs the money more so than some of these other departments.
And they're requesting how much?
They requested $65,000.
$5,000, and you're dropping it to $11,000?
Yes, sir. There's that much unspent in medical insurance.
Why would individual departments have medical insurance? Aren't they all covered in the same?
Yes. So what happens is it's based on an allocation of how many employees are actually active, if I'm not right. Phyllis, please chime in.
So you have a self-insurance fund because you're self-insured, and in that fund you record the costs, the actual costs of the health insurance plan for the county. What Amanda's talking about is where you spread that cost throughout all the different departments. So every department with personnel has the actual cost of salary for those personnel, and then they also have individual line items for things like FICA, which the county is required to pay, or medical insurance. And so Amanda's talking about the medical insurance that we put into a department. Maybe they had some vacancies. The charges actually are set up to hit those lines based on as payroll comes. So every time a person is in that position for payday, a set amount of money is charged to that department and transferred over to the self-insurance fund to be able to pay those actual costs. So the likely result of why they have money in the insurance plan in their department, or the insurance line in the department, is because they had vacancies.
Yes. Any other questions on that one? The next few came from the sheriff's office. I'm sorry, the next one is from the tax office. It is back, I think it was over the summer, Tammy came in and asked for some security upgrades, and she didn't, she's on like the final phase of that project. So she's asking for the final $59,754 to be carryovered, and the budget office does recommend that full amount, the $59,754. It has it earmarked, has the quotes to go with it. The next three came from the sheriff's office. They have radio money that they are going to transfer to CIP for the new radio system that we're likely to going to get purchased from Harris County. That one was $397,044, and the budget office does recommend that carryover. The next one is $204,676 for the fuel station. As you guys know, the fuel station in the sheriff's office has been down for a little bit. Again, they have one more phase for implementation of that, and that's where the $204,000 comes in. The budget office does recommend that one as well. The third one from the sheriff's office is for vehicles, $259,000. What Carol has done is she's gone through her items, and we moved money we did budget transfers to the vehicle line, so that basically all the leftover operations was $259,000 that we're asking to be spent for vehicles for 19. That'll allow them to catch up a little bit on their replacement. And then the last request I have was for JP4. And that is their request was again to use all unspent salary funds and operational items, which came out to $22,426 to buy new furniture. Again, because of the insurance, the budget office recommended a $10,000 carryover so that they could buy some new furniture.
Did you drop that from 22 to 10?
Most of it was related again to the employee health insurance, and they had some vacancies. So some salary line items. But you guys this is again just a budget office recommendation.
Again, just to be clear, none of these items are for giving increases beyond what was approved in budget hearings.
All of these are just, most of them are items that were intended to be bought in 18, purchasing process didn't get completed, or, you know, there was a, you know, some kind of issue that was in the department. So now, after my presentation, I'm asking you guys to consider and approve the carryover from the fiscal year FY 2018 to fiscal year 2019 for the ones that were presented to you guys today.
I move on carryovers as presented.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Clark is now with us.
Morning.
Morning. Lone Star Convention Center. Carpenter.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
I'd like for you to consider and approve change in position 515-8545-2 from a full-time temporary to a full-time regular. An additional $11,466 is necessary to fund employee insurance for this position. Please name a funding source. Gentlemen, let me tell you a little bit about this. I want you to know I take full responsibility for this situation that came up. When I asked for a training position for the operations manager, I emphasized it would be a temporary position. It would end on January 31st, 2019. What I did not realize by calling it a training position, the term training would mean that there were no benefits when the position was funded, when funding the position. My intent was the position would be temporary for 4 months, and at the end of the 4 months, the temporary position employee would then move to the current operations manager position. This would not have been an issue if I'd have hired someone from outside the county, but I selected and transferred a person from another department to the operations manager's position. Not until the first pay period did I learn that the position I'd request did not have funding for benefits. The person I selected is has six years of service with Montgomery County, and without funding, not only would there be some insurance issues, there would be a major issue with his TCDRS retirement. With the help of numerous counties, I ask you to please change the position 513-8545-2 from full-time temporary to full-time regular position.
I move.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
No. Contingency.
Contingency. Commissioner.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, risk management.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'd like you to consider and take appropriate action on flood insurance coverage for county properties that have previously flooded or in zone AE of the FEMA Montgomery County Flood Information Rate Map. And I'm bringing this to you now because we did move and extend our renewal on our property package to April 1st. And with that, we have a clear understanding that the areas that are either in a flood AE zone or have previously flooded in an X are going to be required to have a flood policy on the lower level of coverage. So I'll be working on that throughout the year. If the court wants me to place flood policies on these structures, I can place the flood policies one property at a time. If you want any and all properties covered that are in a flood zone or an AE zone, if you want me to move forward and place those policies, I can do that. I've provided quotes as backup for what the premiums look like in those zones on specific structures. We have five that have been provided to you that have either flooded or they've either flooded, they're in an AE zone, and we know that they're going to need a flood policy for that lower level. Now, our packages will pick up coverage once the flood policy is exhausted, and we've exhausted our 100,000 SIR if we place them now. If we don't place them now, we're looking at our future renewal, there being a $500,000 SIR specific to flood before our package will pick up on these flood locations. We do have another location that we anticipate that's in AE, which is going to be our SO communications tower, that we've got to get an elevation on, get some quotes on that also.
Ms. Little, these majority of these are in Precinct 3, and the first time I saw them was really yesterday. I'd like to defer this item until you and I can have a chance to talk about it.
And when's the deadline beforehand for that 100,000 cutoff, though?
We have time to discuss this. I don't anticipate that we would have to place these policies in force if the court desired until February to March in order to have them effective for April 1st.
I just don't have enough information right now to make a decision.
Yeah, that's
on
fine.
It.
And some of those premiums were going to be so high, we might be better off just self-insuring.
Or relocate or whatever. It's, yeah.
Some of them are
$14,600. Yeah, that's the first time I saw it was yesterday. So.
I say.
Are they all in Precinct 3?
All but one. Lake Patrol flood quote. All the rest are three.
Constable's office at the dam. And the only reason they flooded last time because the lake came up. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's only what, $900 a year.
Well, and the lake guys have to bury the lake.
That one, but,
yeah,
can't
the
move that one.
Nature Center, for example, $14,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's flooded twice, but the first 10 years it was open, it never did. So.
Right. And each property is going to be, the quote is going to be based on the elevation of that structure. And so it will vary.
Okay. So you want to
Yeah. If we can get together on this separately, is that okay with you, Commissioner Metter?
Mm-hmm.
To hold up on the lake one as well?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
And we do have time. I just wanted to bring the court, make them aware that we were going to be writing these kind of policies we've never written in the past, but we will be required in the future if we're going to cover for flood on the
okay.
on this lower layer.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, County Court Law number 2, Judge. How are you?
Hello.
So far, so good.
Morning, Judge.
Good morning. I am here to talk to you gentlemen this morning about the mental health docket. My court took over this docket last month, and so when I talk about the mental health cases, I know that the courts have a million different cases, and sometimes it's hard to differentiate. I'm not talking about the mental health docket that's for our criminal courts. I'm talking about a civil mental health docket. Mr. Lambright's office is the one who files all these cases, and so these are individuals. There are two types of cases. One would come from the Montgomery County mental health facility that we have over by the jail. Those are, of course, people from all over the state that are here to regain competency for criminal cases. Typically, we see force meds. I'm not even here about those cases. It's the other cases.
Okay.
These are individuals who pop up in our community that are having severe mental health problems that are posing a risk to themselves or to others, typically people who are being brought into hospitals because they've overdosed and attempted suicide, something along those nature, a lot of suicide situations. Mr. Lambright's office, of course, then has to go forward and come to the courts to retain detention and forced treatment of these individuals so they don't hurt themselves or hurt other people. So when I took the docket last month, the first thing I did was review the contract. I'm coming with solutions as well as problems, so don't get
understand.
I know this has been an issue. And so the first thing I noticed is that we contracted essentially with three attorneys anticipating 90 cases based on the prior year. What we are seeing is a 45% overage, a lot more cases than we thought there would be, like 200 more, I'm thinking, over the contract year. And so I looked into why. Of course, it has to do with growth, but it's not just growth, because a 45% increase all at the same time, of course, we don't have 45% growth. So I started looking into it, and so what I have found is, of course, we have new hospitals opening in our community as of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we have new beds opening, but the hospitals that are existing, like Conroe Regional and another hospital, have started enhancing their facilities to be able to take different types of cases, higher-level trauma cases. Bottom line is, number one, the more beds that we have in Montgomery County. Number two, the more patients that we have going into these beds because of enhanced facility treatment capabilities is causing more times that they're going to come across one of these individuals who's going to say the word suicide, and then their liability is going to kick in, and then they're going to, of course, send it right to Mr. Lambright, and then our liability is going to kick in, which is going to send it straight to me. So a lot more cases because of the hospital infrastructure that's being built in Montgomery County. What I am anticipating is paying the contract on the side of efficiency and good representation is spot on. It's working exactly like it should have. So we can back out of the contract if we want with 30 days notice, not a good idea. I am anticipating paying $9,000 more to the three attorneys that are handling these cases because they've had such an increase in cases.
Who are the three attorneys?
Grant Stevens, Chris Forbes, and S. Craig Daniel. Those are my three ad litem attorneys.
And is this over our fiscal budget year?
It's
period?
Not. And so that's part of my solution. It goes February to January. And so what I am planning to do is work within the budget that y'all have given this this line item for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm anticipating probably asking for three more attorneys in addition for the next contract. And I think what we can do is we can structure the contract, since it goes February to January, to allow for larger payments on the back end, which will fall into the next budget year. Does that make sense?
I see what you're saying. How much is the current contract for?
$20,000 a piece.
Okay, so they get $60,000, and you might need up to
$120,000? $60,000, yes, sir. And then what happened was last fiscal year, it looks like they went $10,000 over, and they didn't give it to those attorneys. They just appointed other attorneys off the wheel. I would rather not do that because that goes back to what we were trying to get away
from.
They
do that because they exceeded the contract level? Is that...
Outside the contract. Every time the judge...
So then after that, they appoint.
Right.
These attorneys are used to dealing with that type of case. And
they are, and all my ad litems are, Commissioner, but what it comes down to is they're on a... Clearly, you're holding an individual that's not been charged of a crime. You get into really serious constitutional considerations. And so the deadlines are like we have to get them into court within 48 hours, which means that attorney has to go visit within 24 hours. If the attorney that's assigned is on vacation, even sick, they're not going to get over there. So the reason we went to these three is so we could set a schedule so they would know this is your week. You are kind of on call this week to get over to see these people. So when we start appointing off the wheel, what we get is a lot of calls back from the attorney, hey, I can't get over there, appoint someone else, and then we're having to do multiple appointments.
Mm.
So I'd like to stick to the contract as much as possible, and it also helps with budgeting. So in light of what I saw in the newspaper last week,
yes, absolutely.
I said, oh, my goodness, I'm just coming over here to tell you this is the situation and this
that
is the plan.
You know, that's so appreciated, and this court certainly understands the challenges that you face handling the mental health court and what a serious issue it is. And again, I want to thank you for bringing this to the court's attention before it became a problem.
Right.
That's the appropriate way to handle it.
Okay.
So you don't need anything today? This is just information?
We're happy to work with you.
Just letting you know.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I thought that was the message I kind of got from the newspaper article, so I said
okay.
Put me on the
docket. I may have missed something. Was it $60,000 you think you're going to need or $9,000?
$60,000. Okay. So $60,000 is what is in the contract, and I have to apologize to you. I tried to get with the budgeting office, and because her schedule and my schedule were so busy, I don't know what is budgeted. I'm making the assumption that it's at least the contract amount. We may have more actually budgeted.
Okay.
But what I mainly want you to know is we're going to be moving higher than the amount of the contract, but I have a way that we're going to keep it all within this year and next year's budget.
Can we amend that contract instead of going to the wheel so that we can continue to use those attorneys?
Well, yeah, and we're happy to work with. It doesn't start until February.
We got plenty of time.
And the contract that we're under now actually is written such that the judge has the ability to increase just on their own. But before I did that,
no, we thank you so much for that. And Ms. Carter, can you please get with Judge Laird?
Okay. I'll start.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay. Conroe, North Houston, Regional Airport. Mr. Brown.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
I am here asking if you would consider and approve the purchase of an ice maker for the airport maintenance shop. And I will add that the ice maker has already been purchased. That was my fault. I apologize. I did not know that was not an approved item.
Uh-oh.
So the auditor's office approached me, said I needed court approval. So now I'm seeking approval. I have a maintenance staff that works out in the heat, and I bought them an ice maker so they can make a jug of ice water when they go out and work.
I move.
Second.
Yeah, I was going to take JD's ice maker and give it to you.
That's a margarita machine, though, isn't it?
Oh, I know it.
Don't do it again, Jay.
I won't.
Actually, gentlemen, once you've approved the purchase, if this ice maker goes out, we would approve the purchase of a new one. The problem is they never had one. And so you have, in your own offices, you have ice makers, people who work out in the heat. It's just because it's brand new the first time. So if it does ever go out, you wouldn't need to come back to Commissioner's Court at that point.
Why would particularly an ice maker be a separate item other than any other item they may purchase for the purpose?
Yeah. Why would that be an unapproved item?
If you want to approve ice makers for every office in the county, that's certainly at your discretion.
I'm just curious why one piece of equipment would be treated differently. I mean, they're...
We move on.
Good executive decision.
Okay.
It's a pretty good idea. Commissioner Matter.
Listen to the old man.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Okay. Community development.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Please consider and approve the fiscal year 2018 funding grant agreement between HUD and Montgomery County. It incorporates the CDBG entitlement agreement, the home, and the emergency solutions plan with the funding approvals for the form HUD 7082, home form 40093, and the ESG form, and authorize the judge to sign the related documents. This is our contract, the county's contract with HUD, that funds my department for the year. It's retroactive to October 1st. You approved the administrative portion of the budget in July and the projects portion with the plan in August. This is the money finally getting here.
Did anything change with the money or
anything? Well, it changes every year, but we know by April when we write the plan how much we're getting.
Okay.
And then this is the contract.
I move.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
good
you.
Job as always.
Thank you.
Purchasing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first item is to request your authorization to utilize the following contracts: a new roof insulation for Precinct 3, Commissioner's Office through an interlocal agreement with Conroe ISD in the amount of $120,984. And Ally Roofing is a vendor, and building maintenance would be doing this.
Move.
Second.
A quick question on our contract for roof maintenance. Is that something different than?
This is a part. Tim, do you want to? This is something that Tim brought to me that we needed to replace our roof. I've never been up there.
And I'm sure it's.
We
can work on their contract.
The roof consultant will actually be coming probably at the next court, if I'm not mistaken, for the consulting fees. What this is a roof that we did last year, the same design and type. So instead of going through the consultant and paying the design fees again, we went with the low bidder from last year.
Okay.
And actually, his roof price came in cheaper than last year's price when
okay.
it was bid.
Save that
so we
fee.
Went through Conroe ISD to do it, the contract.
Right. I knew we had that consultant. I didn't know. What
yeah,
but
no, that's coming up for the new year, I think, on the next quarter.
Isn't this part of the overall
yes,
roofing?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The roofing plan.
Evaluations that we did last year.
Yeah, you're on the list for replacement anyway, weren't you?
Yeah, through their,
yeah.
Through
the
Conroe's
money's there.
Contract.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Well, you get more water coming up from the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The bathtub's nice.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And the next item is approve granting a discretionary exemption. This is to purchase three Wavetronic devices and accessories. Can be only obtained from only one source for Commissioner Precinct 3. It's $127,790.
Move. This is for signal components for Burnham Woods project.
Second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. Grants?
Morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Judge Commissioner.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm asking you to consider and approve the grant applications as presented on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 19A, I think
we'll defer
yeah. Item 19A1.
Defer.
We now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene a public hearing for Precinct 3, Commissioner.
Consider and approve installing no parking, no stopping, no standing Monday through Friday, 7:15 to 8:30 a.m., 2:45 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. signs at the intersection of Spring Trails Park Drive and Andrew Spring Lane, 80 feet from the center of the intersection on both sides of the street. Is there anyone here to discuss this matter? No comment, Judge.
The only thing you didn't have in there is no shoes, no shirt, no
That's it.
Okay. I need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our commissioner's court. Is that an item we need to take action on?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Judge.
Motion carries. Mr. Mooney.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Morning.
This morning I am here to ask you guys to consider and approve incorporating the NOAA 14-point precipitation frequency estimates into the county drainage criteria effective December 31st, 2018. And updating the table, actually, that would be essentially effective January 1st. So what this is, it's the data set that has been long time coming from the federal government regarding what a real 100-year event, 100-year storm looks like. And in our area, the commonly referred to 24-hour 100-year storm event drops 12.2 inches of rain in that period. In the course of their study of frequent storm events that we've had recently, that number has jumped to 16.1. So this data table and the frequency curves that go with it will affect the design of infrastructure going forward for Montgomery County to accommodate a much bigger storm event. So I'm asking for your approval to adopt that.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
Mark, in some of the lesser storm events, it doesn't change those numbers dramatically, but you get up around the 100-year event, it changes it pretty significantly.
Yeah, actually, the table shows that the 2, 5, and 10-year events don't change substantially, and in fact, there are some frequency intervals where that rainfall event actually drops a little bit. But the 50 and the 100 and the 500 is where we'll see the big difference. So where we'll see the biggest difference in development will be in detention systems and major outfall channels.
Are these changes mainly due to us being better at being able to determine what that amount of rainfall actually would the effective rainfall, or is it because of the development that has occurred in the area and the lack of impervious?
This is purely a statistical measurement of rainfall events over some course of time.
Actual amount of
rain. And so what it kind of shows, Commissioner, is that we are actually getting more rain more often. So in theory, if a 100-year event used to be 12.2 inches in 24 hours, we're getting that more often. So they've adjusted the table to reflect that now a 100-year event in 24 hours is certainly a lot more rainfall. And I think that's pretty evident what we see certainly recently.
What does this do for us? I mean, what?
It doesn't really.
Change it from 12 to 16,
what it will eventually do, and what it really does, is that it allows the development community to design better infrastructure from a drainage standpoint.
It allows or it requires?
This data, this table is actually an official table that's going to be adopted. Well, it's been adopted throughout the entire United States. We're one of the last remaining states that have had this update to this data set. It supersedes any data that has been previously adopted and in fact, in our manual today. Well, this. There's no getting around it. This is going to be the data that every agency in this area and across state adopts.
So it requires the developers to use this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
March. That's the difference.
And we would be remiss in not requiring it.
No,
it's
no,
data
I,
that's out there for sure.
You said I laughed.
But yeah, it is definitely required, and it will be adopted in San Antonio last week, and talked to a number of county engineers from across the state, and everybody's gearing up to incorporate this data set into their manuals.
I think it's time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
but the thing, because they designed to a 10-year storm event, correct, the developers?
Well, it depends on what part of the infrastructure.
Okay. And that number's not going to be changed terribly substantially, but as much as the 50 or 100 years, so the cost to that developer is not going to be prohibited.
Yeah, you get into tension in that.
No, for
but I think it
you
will
know,
help
a lot of storm
us
sewers are designed on 2 and 3 year events.
Right.
That's City of Houston criteria. That stuff won't change. It's the major outfall channels and the detention systems
gotcha.
That will change.
Okay.
And ultimately, the biggest question that's going around right now is, this is one arm of the federal government that actually has created or devised this table over some period of time. And the other arm of the federal government that creates the maps is not willing to change the maps that reflect this data.
Yeah.
So there will be a lot of discussion going forward with a number of agencies on how to attack that problem.
I tell you, I wish that everybody had a copy of that chart. Because I get calls all the time, and I know y'all do, that say, well, we only got 3 inches of rain. Well, if you get 3 inches of rain in a 30-minute period, that can exceed a 100-year event.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people
right.
don't
yeah.
That's what they don't realize sometimes when something is designed to a 10-year event and you exceed that by tenfold, there's
you know,
going
we,
to be
the,
flooding.
The real issue.
We've had a chart for a long time in our drainage criteria manual, and I think every one of you guys has called me or Dan and asked about that specific question.
Yeah, right.
This chart will be adopted. It will be placed back in the manual along with the curves that go along with it. And believe me, we refer a lot of people to it.
Yeah, it's a very good piece of information.
Oh, yeah.
Judge, the real issue we've got right now, of course, I won't be here to see this through, and me and Mark have talked about this, is the actual, you know, we make a developer, you know, we design the detention pond, we make them put it in, we come out, we inspect it, and then we walk away. How many detention ponds would you say we've got in the county right now?
A ballpark would be 20,000.
Yeah. No type of inspection. No
yeah,
type
how
of,
many ever inspected annually?
No type of maintenance. And I guarantee I can take you right now and show you where a lot of outfall basins have grown. You know, we've got pine trees, you know.
We've
huge.
Talked to the commissioner a long time about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something.
Is that something we can monitor? And do we charge to go inspect these?
Generally, they go to the inspector. Maintain them is
Well, if we're inspecting them, then we're requiring them to maintain them.
Do we have that authority?
That leads exactly to the discussions that we've had following this discussion is enforcement of those violations of maintenance to a facility.
Who's going
to
do that? Yeah.
The number of inspectors it would take would be almost like painting a golden bridge. It never ends. You'd constantly have to do it. But
there's been situations.
Finding teeth to actually stop violators is a real challenge.
Does the county have the authority to enforce that they maintain that their detention or retention
pond? We could,
but
we don't have anything in place right now.
You know how many times we went through this over here with these guys? I mean, it's like every
There's situations where people have actually filled the ponds in.
And built on them.
And built on them.
And I think, BD, I think we do have the authority to enforce a continual maintenance of something like that we approved in the first place. We don't have the personnel to do it. And certainly if we get a call like that, we can go out and
sure.
we can investigate and create some.
But it's only when somebody brings it to our attention, not. And
there's
thousands
of
them out there.
There are so many of these things around the county that are no bigger than this room that we're in.
Right.
There's just no way to track all of that with the personnel we've got.
There are quite a few limits on how and when we can enforce things such as you're talking about. And there is no single regulatory authority given by statute like in some other areas, such as firearms ordinance or not. We have to piggyback it on either our floodplain regulation or upon our subdivision enforcement regulation. So it is dicey when and under the circumstances that you can do some type of
no.
So it's a,
as
a take it, look at each one specifically and see if there is an avenue there in order for us to enforce whatever, enforce corrections, whatever.
biggest problem I got is nobody will maintain their outfall ditches.
Right.
Nobody will clean them up or maintain them.
Ditches that are off the county road right away that are the responsibility of a subdivision or a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the largest problems or biggest issue in this is a lot of, almost all the detention facilities and drainage facilities other than the road are on private property.
Yeah.
And there's constitutional prohibition against us working on private property. Certainly if we go in without consent, then that's an inverse condemnation potentially. So.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of very complicated issues that get into whether and what you can do with specific issues out there.
And if you ever start maintaining these detention ponds, then these outfall drainage culverts, pipes, ditches that go from the subdivision to the lake, that's going to come up.
Yeah, they're all going to be yours.
You don't want that.
It's a shared problem all over the state. Obviously, Harris County has a flood control district that's countywide that takes care of a lot of those concerns. Fort Bend County has a countywide drainage district that has some additional authorities. So there are mechanisms I guess some other counties have employed, but the vast majority of counties certainly in this area suffer the same frustrations that we do.
Yep. Understand.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, Mark. Good job.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Commissioner, Precinct 1.
Consider to approve increasing the salary for position 612-4213 by $2,536.66. Annualized salary should be $53,560 to be funded by variance in position 612-3201. And what I understand, this is a correction to the payroll schedule.
Yes, sir. This is a new employee that when we got the PCR had one rate on it. Commissioner had called and changed the rate before it actually went into effect in court. It didn't get updated on the salary schedule because we pulled the upload before he called. And so this is a correction to that.
Yeah, this is just kind of
move.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We've got four motions and
third.
Yeah.
Aye. Second.
Any opposed? Four motions and 3 seconds.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Ms. Shaw.
Please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we have three citizens that have signed up to speak on items that were not on today's agenda. Just real briefly, I'll read this comment. We now invite the public to address the court on any items not on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. Public comments may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking actions on matters raised in public comment. So the first person that I have signed up to speak is Denise Nitsch. Did I pronounce that right? I hope I got that correct.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
My name is Denise Knight. I'm the owner of Precious Paws Grooming and in business for the past 10 years. I received two dog bites from two different dogs out of four brought to be groomed. After notifying Angela, the owner, I received a threatening phone call and was forced to call 911. Animal control was then involved and the dogs were to be quarantined within 24 hours. After finding out from the director of the bite division, Joe, 4 days later, the dogs were not quarantined and asking why. Joe informed me all he had was a first name and a number, that he had called many times, leaving many requests for the dogs, and she was not returning his calls. After asking him about networking with law enforcement, Since he was aware of the 911 call, he said he could not. I was informed he was considering home quarantine. I requested a face-to-face. I arrived at his office October the 9th, over 71 hours after the bites occurred. He still had not made contact with Angela. I was able to forward her information to Joe as a result of a five-minute Google search. I shared my concerns with Joe repeatedly, along with evidence I had acquired to add to the fact Angela should be disqualified from home quarantine. The fact Angela showed a lack of responsibility, character, and a lack of respect to authority, not returning his multiple calls, should be enough alone to disqualify her from home quarantine. However, when you stack all the facts together, it's derelict and insulting he would consider. The facts known to Joe, hard proof she was lying on Facebook, the fact she had threatened me in front of police, picture proof she definitely has five, more than likely six white labs looking alike, I would need to identify the biters, the fact I was also threatened by her husband, picture proof that dogs were being kept in horrific condition at Angela's house, hard evidence she has a biter. On the 10th, I gave Joe more disqualifying evidence with proof Angela had given false statements to responding 911 officers. Joe, knowing I had been threatened by these people repeatedly via phone, text, and in front of police, was compelled to inform Angela I had been getting evidence from her Facebook page, which prompted her to block any more evidence retrieval. Very unprofessional and could have put me in harm's way. Joe showed less than credible character when I asked him for his boss's name. He was dishonest to say the least. To date, only four dogs have been home quarantined, two for 5 days, two for six. The fifth dog, Honey, a known biter, has not been seen at all. After repeated requests, I have not been allowed to identify the biters. It's my belief, after review of the facts to date, the biters have not been seen by animal control. I've suffered physically from the bites, and Joe has daily re-victimized me with an unwillingness in his duty to make sure the real biters are quarantined appropriately.
Nice. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate that. Yeah, yes. Thank you. Okay, next we have Yalik.
I am going to present today's Golden Hammer, but I want to raise one partisan issue first. My name is Eric Yalik. I'm from Precinct 3. One of the reasons that I support Commissioner Riley and the entire Republican slate for re-election is because they're genuine people. Unlike Pocahontas, who we all know claims to be of Indian ancestry and is a complete fake. And what we have in comparison is a good Republican in the room, Mr. Robert Eisler, who just got his DNA testing back. And what his DNA testing shows as a good Republican is that his Indian ancestry is actually twice that of Pocahontas. I want to introduce you to the Geronimo of the Republican Party. Now, as for today's Golden Hammer, a more serious issue. It goes to our purchasing director, Gilbert Jalomo, and the IT director, Marshall Shirley. You've got to learn that there are only three people in Montgomery County who are willing to vote for any spending proposal that comes before them. But at the same time, there are 575,000 people outside of this room who see what's going on. On October the 9th, you voted for $195,000 of additional money for the crazed ERP software system. That's six times more than the median income per capita for the people who work hard in Montgomery County in the private sector. But I want to go back to August 28, 2018, when Mr. Jalomo and Mr. Shirley made their presentation and got you to approve the entire ERP system. Commissioner Nowak expressed concerns about the gigantic cost of the system and the potential for cost overruns. In response, Mr. Shirley guaranteed Commissioner Nowak in this court, "It has all the requisite components," is what he told you. Then a few minutes later, Mr. Jalomo guaranteed the 10-year cost as all in at $14,827,000, and the 2-year total is guaranteed at $8,550,000. Commissioner Clark then asked, Is that $14 million a guaranteed number, or is it subject to change as we move along? Mr. Jalomo responded, quote, the number is guaranteed for 5 years. That's an all-in number, $14,827,000. Now that you actually have that written contract, I hope that all five members of this commissioner's court will look very closely at that contract. It is nothing but a black hole of spending, and we're going to see more and more overruns for its cost.
Your time has expired.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Harry Hardman.
Honor and commissioners.
Morning,
Harry. I want to start off by saying the previous comments. I'm talking about the same issue, but they're not scripted at all. So I'm here to talk about the ERP system as well. So I hope the previous comments, well, I think some of them are valid, not held against me. Okay. So my name is Harry Hardman. I've been a resident of Montgomery County since 1999. I'm here to talk to you as a private citizen, and I wanted to share my concerns regarding the ERP system as well. By way of background, I've spent my entire career as an executive in the technology sector, and for the past several years, I've been deeply involved in selling solutions like the one the county recently acquired. I'm deeply concerned that such a major acquisition can quickly turn into a debacle unless immediate action is taken. The current scenario is a vendor's ultimate dream. I would love to have this scenario in my life. An unsophisticated customer with little or no experience in deploying a cloud-based application, significant transitions at the top with, you know, the incoming commissioners and the judge, and most importantly, the county auditor, and what appears to be a bottomless budget. This scenario creates the perfect storm for what could be a worst-case situation for the county and a best-case situation for the vendor, as it presents virtually unlimited opportunities for add-on business, additional consulting hours, and delayed implementation dates, which could easily double the current estimate of $15 million. The most recent submission by Mr. Jalomo of the $195,000 for additional module, not even 2 months after the initial purchase, makes it extremely clear to me that this project has not been well managed or coordinated and will not end well for the taxpayers unless significant and immediate steps are taken. Based on my experience with these types of implementations and subsequent best practices established therewith, I am making the following recommendations to the court as well as to the Board of District Judges. If possible, we need to cancel this current contract. The county auditor is in an extremely important position regarding this solution, and since the auditor's office touches every department in the county, to continue to try to implement the solution without the input, coordination, and buy-in of the auditor to ensure the new solution meets their requirements, it is destined to failure. Clearly, the county, the size of ours, can certainly utilize a comprehensive ERP system like the one we purchased, and I understand why the court made that decision earlier this year. However, with the recent decision not to renew Ms. Martin's contract, the status quo of having an auditor in place with significant experience in how the county works is no longer in play. These extenuating circumstances definitely dictate canceling the current contract and rebidding it after the new auditor has been hired and on board long enough to participate effectively in this contract, in this project. If the court's unwilling to be able to cancel the contract, I absolutely ask that you immediately suspend any further implementations until a new auditor has been hired. Thank you all very much,
Mr. Hardman.
Mr. Hardman, I've got one question.
Yes.
Would you happen to be running for office?
I am.
Would you mind sharing what position real quick?
Yes, I'm running for the Lone Star Groundwater Conservation District, Place 5.
And that's at large, everybody in the county, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Get out and vote and do your civic duty.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone that did not sign up to speak on an item that they'd like to address this court on that was not on our agenda today? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Commissioners.
Good morning.
I appreciate the time to come up and give you an update. I saw you about a couple of months ago regarding the events going on in Harris County, North Harris County, in dealing with the prevention of flooding going forward. The dredging has started about a month ago, and Dave Martin's office has not rescheduled a new tour for that dredging project. I will be sure to contact you guys when they do, so we can get you guys on board with that tour. The other thing is, in speaking with Dave Martin a few nights ago, he asked me to relay to the Commissioner's Court to please look into not only looking at the dredging for the East Fork and the West Fork in Montgomery County of the San Jacinto River, but also to look at possible tracts of real estate for the large detention ponds that they're looking to put in. If you guys would start looking into that and maybe earmarking some possible real estate for those, they're talking about maybe putting in a third reservoir as in addition to Conroe and Houston. So just wanted to put that, ask you to put that on your radar. And there was one more thing. It escapes me, but I appreciate your time.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Could you, please state your name for the record, sir?
Daryl Palmer.
Mr. Palmer, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
All right, is there anyone else that would like to address the court? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
All right.